This Christian podcast is designed to help us walk a stronger Christian life in today's troubled world. This is God's Amazing Grace Podcast with Sean.
Well, everybody, welcome back to this week's episode of God's Amazing Grace. Once again, I'm your host, Sean. And on this episode, we're going to do a little bit of what's going on in this world and what's going on in my life. It's been a very rough and hectic year for me. And I'm just going to discuss a little bit about what's going on. But first, before we get started, I guess nobody wants to win the book because there was nobody that answered the question, the trivia question. I'm going to give you another crack at it. And when you could go into my website page now, there is a link on there to where you can leave a message on my website page now. So if you want to win this book, I don't care who you are, a family member, whoever you are, I really think you deserve a good read. It's the book is Tyler D. Smith's Searching for Seven, The Journey of Seeking God 7 Days a Week. I think it would be a very good, helpful resource to whoever wants to use it, whether it would be your personal devotions, or, you know, even use it in church with the youth groups, adult groups, whatever. I mean, whoever wants a chance to win it, just leave me an email at God's Amazing Grace Podcast at Outlook.com. That's God's Amazing Grace Podcast. Yeah, it's kind of long at Outlook.com, but it is kind of long. So eventually we'll get that kind of changed. But right now that's what it is. Or you can leave a message by going on to Spotify or wherever and click it on the link and leave a message that way through Anchor. Or you can go on my website to where you'll see a microphone. Click on that microphone and leave a message that way. There's also areas where you can leave your email address. You can rate and review the podcast. There's a store where you can buy some merchandise, you know, and there's even ways that you can donate to help us out as we endeavor into this podcast adventure. So we are viewer paid. I shouldn't say paid, but viewer sponsored. And that's you, the viewer out there. So if you get a chance, just leave us a message. But my website is www.godamazinggrace.com. Look for the microphone, click on the microphone, and you can leave a message that way. Don't forget to go up into the right-hand corner and click on the three lines and kind of go through and rate us, review us, leave a message, leave your email, check out the store. But here's the question. If you remember, I asked everybody, which book of the Bible did Jesus directly write? That means he got down on pen and paper and wrote it himself. Which book of the Bible? This could be a tricky question. But if you can, get in contact with me however you want to, through Facebook or anything. So, yes, I will say it one more time. Which book of the Bible did Jesus directly write? So, but anyway, like I was seeing kind of a little bit there at the beginning of the show, that this year has been a very trying year. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, if you go back and say, listen to the episode about my wife and I's story about what's been going on. We don't know anything. After her radiation, she had to wait 6 months before they would check her and give her another MRI to see if the tumor has shrunk or if it continues to grow. So we won't know anything from that until, I think it's November, that she goes and gets her MRI done. But on the bright side of this all, she did go back to work. She got herself a new job working with the community mental health. And so far, she seems to like it. It's a little stressful because they basically put her in a new program to where she's going to make the program up. And, you know, and it's kind of hard, but she'll get the hang of it. So, but then after that, we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, what this podcast is about. We don't do any kind of editing. You know, I might add like an intro, an outro, and an in between or anything. But we don't do any editing. And I think the reason why I do that is because I want people to see that I am real, that I am human. I'm not professional. I'm not getting paid to do this. I'm just doing it because I want to get out and reach people, touch people's lives, make things a little bit easier for people out there in the real world. I usually try to make a script, but with this one, I am going scriptless. So bear with me. You know, I might repeat myself a little bit, but I will do my best in what I can. So, but then we discussed a little bit about death. Yes, I know I've kind of brought it up a little bit more than usual, but that's kind of what's going on in my life right now. I said about a month ago, I lost my Uncle Jerry, and I didn't get to make it to the funeral. And, you know, I kind of felt bad about that because I really couldn't take the time off to go, because I didn't hear about it until last minute. I was going to have a guest on my podcast, but Gerald Fadiami, who wrote a book about When Life Gives You Lemons, which that is another excellent book that I highly recommend that anybody get a chance and go out and read that one. But I kind of had to put that one on hold because of my uncle's passing. So, but I couldn't take the time off from work to go to the funeral, which kind of bummed me out. But I mean, that's life, you know. And for my cousins that lost their dad, and my aunt who had lost her husband, you know, I feel bad and about not being able to make it and say my goodbyes, because Uncle Jerry, he always had a smile on his face. One of those type of people that always had that smile, no matter what. He always had that smile. He liked to tell his jokes like everybody else, but then this past week, we lost someone very special to our hearts, and my mom's heart. Her husband, my stepdad, I want to say 2 to 3 years after my father passed away, they started seeing each other, and eventually they got married, and he loved my mother dearly. He would do anything for her. He spoiled her rotten, I think, but, you know, maybe other people would disagree, but he was very good to her. He was very good to the family. He was a tender soul, played music. He was in, I believe, a barber's quartet, I want to say. He played the accordion, played the piano for the church. Very into the church, very into helping people out, making people smile. His corny jokes. He would laugh harder than anybody else would on his old jokes. So, but he was a very tender soul. He was 89 years old. It seemed like he still had a lot of life in him, but I guess the big old C word took hold of him, got a hold of him, and he also was on dialysis, and he got too weak to do the dialysis anymore, and my daughter was coming down to, because my mom put on Facebook and everything, that everybody should come and say their goodbyes because he's too weak to do his dialysis, because they told him, if you don't do your dialysis, you got 2 weeks. If you do your dialysis, you got 2 months. So his cancer was that far in advance. And it, when it went from, I guess, his prostate to his bones. And from what I understand, that the bone cancer is very painful, but he took it. You could not tell. He was in a lot of pain. He took it like he's a small man, but he was very loved by the family. I know, like I said, he meant the world to my mom, and my mom meant the world to him. He treated her like a queen. And he will be missed. But anyway, my daughter was on her way down to say her goodbyes with the grandkids. And on her way down, she got a flat. This is my way of saying it, how I think the devil was trying to keep her from coming to her and the granddaughters from seeing him in the words of wisdom that he gave them. But she got a flat tire. She lives about three and a half hours away from my mom's house. I'm about a half hour away, so it's about three and a half hours. So somewhere up north, on her way down, she got a flat tire. So she had to call roadside assistance. And that took an hour and a half. Remember, she wanted to be here by 1 o'clock. So that put her an hour and a half behind. By the time he got the tire on and everything, that was another half hour. So she had to stop, because it was a donut tire, and those are next stop, basically the next stop, and change them, tires. And she made it to Walmart, because Walmart's the only place that's open on Sundays that will do tires. They told her, ma'am, we have a 2.5 hour waiting list. So there's another 2.5 hours. They had to waste their time in the rest in the Walmart, went to Subway to get something to eat, but then wasted the rest of their time in Subway. So she calls me, 5:30, And she says, I'm almost to your house. Do you want a ride? I thought about it, and then I said, no, I'll let you go down there and spend time with them. And so by that time, it was 6:30 by the time she got to my mom's house. Remember, she lived about three and a half hours away from my mom. So kids, I think, had school. No, they didn't have school the next day. So, because it was on a Sunday night. So she makes it there. My mom comes out and says, he's sleeping. So you guys can come in and talk to me and stuff, or, you know, go out. We'll go sit out back and we'll talk and stuff. And I think his daughters were there. And, but anyway, while they were talking, he woke up. Like, he had a burst of energy. Like, he, I want to say, there was nothing wrong with him. And they went in and talked to him. You know, he, first thing he did when they walked in was cracked his little joke, one of his little jokes. You know, and then he got serious and said, told my granddaughters that you make sure you find yourself a good man that will take care of you. And, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that was some of it. And my mom said that when they walked out of that room, they were bawling their eyes out. And that was basically his way of saying goodbye to them. He said, you guys are very beautiful girls. You deserve the best. And make sure you put God first in everything you do. And he just went back, you know, basically wanted a popsicle because he had a dry mouth, but he couldn't finish the popsicle, so my mom had to help him, which he didn't like that a whole lot because he wanted to do things on his own and fell back to sleep. But anyway, Monday morning, on my way to work, my brother calls and says, Mark passed away. That's my stepdad. Passed away either last night or early this morning. We don't really know for sure what happened. And I thought he held on long enough because he knew Tiffany and Rosalind and Natalie were coming down to see him. He knew they were coming down, but he held on long enough to say goodbye to them and give them their last words of advice that they will remember for the rest of their lives. I talked to my daughter that morning and told her, and, you know, and then I talked to my granddaughters, and they remembered. They remember everything they said, and Rosalind said, yeah, she was very sad. And I says, he's in a better place. He's not hurting anymore. yeah, it's kind of hard that he's gone. But to see this man before this disease took control of him, and to see him during this disease, there wasn't much of a difference. Just his body was becoming frail and weak. You know, but we all know, you know, that through this all, that he is going on to a better place. You know, people that hear people say this think, how do you know? I know by the life that he led. How do I know that Jesus is real? Look around you. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now in this world, a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness. But you're going to find that in the Bible, because in the end times, all this stuff is going to happen. And it's happening. We are in the end times. Just look around you and you can see it. You can't go to church and worship like you used to. You, when you do worship, people hate you. They hate the name of Jesus. It's almost like another Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyway, he, you know, to kind of go back and get a little bit of the story when my mom and him met and stuff, and before my dad died. But my dad died. To this day, we do not know exactly what the cause was. He had some kind of a lung disease. And they were supposed to do autopsy on his lung. This was back in the 90s. Autopsy on his lungs, and the lungs kind of just disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to him. But my mom continued to go to church after he passed away, and that's where they met. They met at a church where they're going to have his funeral at tomorrow, Central Assembly of God, and that's in Muskegon, Michigan, where I think his dad was like a founder that helped build the church. But I believe, if you know the original founders of TBN, the Crouches, if I'm not mistaken, he was a minister at that church years and years ago. That's kind of where he started, I believe. But they met. And me, I was very close to my dad. I really had a hard time with seeing my mom with somebody else. They were going out on dates and stuff, and I did not like it. I would have discussions with my mom about it because I did not like it. I was very close to my dad. And, I mean, we did everything together. We hunted together, and when we worked on stuff and built stuff, we did that all together. So I was very close with my dad. And when she started dating him, it bugged me bad. And I think Mark knew it, you know, that he knew that I, but, you know, he didn't say a word to me. He didn't, you know, put me down or anything. He just tried to be there for us as a family. And anyway, a few years later, she tells me they're going to get married. And I really didn't like that. But as time went on, I began to accept it. And I began to, you know, maybe somewhere deep down inside, I kind of had a hard time with it. Even as I got older, as they were married and together, I kind of had a hard time accepting it just because my dad was my dad and we were very close. And, but they eventually got married and, you know, later on in life, I could see how good he treated her. And I accepted it. I accepted him. I may not have ever really told him that, but just going around him meant that I accepted him. You know that thing where, yeah, you talk to somebody and you go to their house and go around them, and you know that means you accept them and stuff. But he did. He treated her like a queen, and it's a sad thing. We are gonna miss him. He was 89 years old. He lived a long life, but if this would not have hit him, he would have lived a few more years. He was pretty healthy before this hit, and he will be missed. And tomorrow is the funeral, which is on a Thursday. This is September. It'll be September 3rd, I believe, 2020. And, yeah, it's going to be a hard day. But, like I said, we all know where he's at. No more pain. There might be, you know, a little bit of sorrow here on earth. But in heaven, it's only going to be rejoicing. We can rejoice here on earth knowing that he is in heaven, worshiping our Savior. But for those of you that have gone through this and know that your family loved Jesus, had Jesus living in their lives, in their hearts, know that you will see them again someday and rejoice right next to them. You know, it's kind of hard here on earth as our fleshly bodies, our carnal minds kind of doubt things. There's doubt that's put in your head by the devil that there is no such thing as heaven and hell. It's all a myth. If it is, oh well, I don't care. I'm not going to change the way I believe. I'm not going to change the way that the place that I want to go. Even if I don't go and there isn't one, I'm still not going to turn Jesus down. I'm still not going to live an ungodly life. When we go into this world, every day before you step outside, be that light to the darkness. Ask God before you walk out that door to help me to let my light shine, so that people can see that light and they're going to be attracted to that light. Kind of like the bugs are at night, they're attracted to a light. We as Christians and we as non-Christians see that light and we're attracted to that light. And when we get to that light, Jesus zaps us full of the Holy Spirit. But when we walk outside, let's be that light. The days that we feel down, the days that we feel sad, put a smile on your face and see how contagious that smile can be. Yeah, there's going to be people that are not going to like that smile. But put a smile on your face. See how contagious that smile can be. And not only will that smile be contagious to others, but that smile will be contagious to you because it will change your mood completely. But don't forget to be that light. You know, we're Christians. We say we have Jesus in our hearts. Yes, we're human. We all do make mistakes. But instead of acting like an ungodly person, act like that Christian. Ask yourself, you know, that wristband that came out with WWJD, what would Jesus do? Ask yourself, how would Jesus act? What would Jesus do? There are not many times in the Bible that you do see him get angry. The only time you see him getting angry is when there was people selling goods, selling and betting and gambling in his house of worship. Hello, if you come home and you've seen a bunch of people in your house gambling and doing whatnot, wouldn't you get a little upset? But when you're driving down that road and somebody honks at you, flips you off, if you go by them, give them a smile and say a wave. Watch their attitude change. They might not like it. Oh, well. But it's going to keep you from having a bad attitude. Because I know, trust me, I know there's been lots of times going down that road that people have kind of made me mad. And it's hard to change that attitude once you get into that attitude. You know, it's I guess what I'm trying to say is your attitude not only reflects on other people, but it reflects on yourself. Come with a good attitude, the day will go good. Put a smile on your face, other people are going to smile. They're going to look at you eventually. Some of them people are going to look at you eventually and say, what is it that that person has that I don't have? How can they be happy every day? That shine in your light. You know, I don't have any scripture to back up anything. It's just my opinion, my words. I'm just going with the flow. Like I said, I have no script, nothing to read, nothing to go by. Just my words. To try to put a positive attitude in people's lives. This isn't one of those think positive, be positive kind of things. This is just do it. Just do it. Like the Nike commercial, just do it. And you'll see. Christians, yes, we have our problems. We're going to have problems. We're human. We are being attacked daily by the devil. But when you project positive things by smiling, telling people that Jesus loves them, being that light, eventually, those problems are going to get easier and lighter and easier and lighter. Just try it for, you know, they say it takes 21 days to make it make a habit, start a habit, make it into a habit. 21 days. So, starting today or tomorrow, wherever you're at, starting tomorrow. Turn that frown upside down and make it a smile. When you shake somebody's hand, smile at them and say, Jesus loves you. Yeah, you're going to get some crazy looks. You're going to get some crazy response. But see what kind of difference it makes. And after that month, that 21 days, that month that you do this, see what kind of a difference it makes in your life, as well as everybody's around you. Why don't we do that? Why don't we make a challenge and do that? Starting tomorrow, September 4th, 2020, let's turn this pandemic around by turning its frown upside down and making everybody smile. Be that light that you're supposed to be, that we're all supposed to be. When you see someone on the side of the road, don't drive by them. Stop and ask them if they need help. Isn't that Christ-like? When you say, oh, but people in this world are crazy. Doesn't it say something about if the snakes are going to bite you, if they're poisonous, you're not even going to get sick? I think they were talking about Peter's, something like that anyway. I can't remember exactly how it goes. But it says also, if you have two of something, like a coat, and you see a homeless person out there that needs a coat, give them one of your coats. You don't need both of them. You know, we want this world to be better. We want everyone to be better, to be happy. You know, maybe that's why there's so much killing in this world. There's so much suicide in this world. What happens if you walk up to a person and put a smile on their face, not knowing that they were about to attempt suicide, and you change their mind by being that light to them, putting that smile on their face, being, letting them see Jesus in you? You know, we forget, we as a church have kind of gone away from what we're supposed to be. We're not just supposed to be there, be, oh, it's a Sunday morning, go in, sing a few praise and worship songs, preach for an hour, some places less than that, sing a couple of songs, and go home. Aren't we supposed to be a church that's to go into the world and preach the gospel and teach the gospel? Nobody says you have to go into another country to do it. What about in your own backyard? What about your neighbor? What about Sally and Tom down the street? Think about it. The church doesn't do that anymore. It's kind of like a social gathering nowadays. And just because the church doesn't do it doesn't mean you can't do it. Yeah, but I don't have enough time in the day to do anything. You don't have to have any more time in the day than the time that you already have. What did I tell you about putting a smile on your face? You put that smile on your face, that other person's going to see that smile. Your neighbor's going to see that smile. And eventually they're going to start asking questions. I've seen it happen. I've seen people say, hey, what do you have that I don't have? It wasn't me personally, but I have seen it happen. You know, put a song in your heart. I'm not saying one of these secular music songs. I'm saying something that rejoices God, glorifies God, lifts Jesus higher. You know, just think about it for a minute. What am I not doing that I should be doing as a Christian? I think part of the problem with Christians too is we don't fight for our beliefs. Where in other countries, Christians are being persecuted, stoned to death, heads are being chopped off. And we can't even go talk to the neighbors. We can't even go into the store and say, how are you doing today? Do you know Jesus loves you? Is it because we're ashamed? I hear everybody saying right now, no, I'm not ashamed. Then why don't we do that? Come out of that bubble and do that. Even if you don't say words, people know who you are, where you go, what you do. They see how you carry yourself. If you're frowning, they're looking and saying, it's no different than me. But if you get that smile on your face every day, yeah, I know it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. But try it. We're going to do that challenge for a month. The 30-day challenge. Do it every day for 30 days and watch it become a habit. And when you do it, I want to hear about it. So message me. Message me and let me know what a difference it makes. You know, find a good radio station that glorifies God, not the one that talks about, oh, my neighbor's wife so good looking, blah, 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 or, you know, whatever. You know, not that kind of song. But something that glorifies Jesus. And see what a difference it makes. Try it. Let's do this. We're going to call it the 30-Day Challenge. 30-Day Challenge to change the world. 30-Day Challenge to change your life. Let's do it. Message me about it when you do it. Get back to me and let me know. I want to hear what a difference it's making in your life and what a difference it's making in other people's lives around you. You know, you go to work and it's like, oh, I don't want to go to work anymore. Just think of all those people that can't go to work. It's not that you have to go to work. You get to go to work because you're healthy enough. You've got a job. There's a lot of people out there during this pandemic that don't have a job anymore. You get to have a job. That alone should put a smile on your face. So let's do this. Let's make a challenge. I challenge everyone that is listening out there for 30 days to be that light. And watch not only the change in your life, but everybody's around you. Yeah, you're going to have some, trust me, you're going to have some that do not like it. If you ever want a perfect example of what this could do, how this could spread, read about Isuzu Street back in the days with the revivals and stuff. There was one, I can't remember the preacher's name. But he went into this factory. This was during, I think, during the revivals or just before the revival started. And he went in. I don't remember exactly the whole story of it. But he went in, and there was a guy working there. He was using a hammer, pounding on something. And it slipped, and it hit his hand. And he started cussing and swearing. You know how people are when they're, you know, I know I've done it. I know I will admit it. And I know there's been a lot of other people that have done it. If you just admit it, you know you have. But then he looked up and he seen that preacher there. And immediately he fell to his knees, repenting and crying. This is where that 30-day challenge could lead. It could lead us into a revival. You know, in the last days, there's going to be a great revival, a great awakening. But, oh, I don't have to do it now. I can wait. What happens if tomorrow, there's never is a tomorrow? Why put off today or tomorrow what you can do today? Think about it. Dig into the Word. Devour the Word. Drink of that living water. Who's the living water? Jesus. And go out into this world and change it. You want to see this hatred, this evil go away? Go out into the world and change it. All these people you see on TV that are cussing and swearing at those that are Christian, if we go out and be that light, maybe they'll be like that guy that hit his hand with a hammer. He'll see you and he'll fall to his knees and cry and repent and say, Jesus, forgive me. Start a revival. It's so easy to become complacent. Get comfortable in what you're doing, where you're going, who you're seeing. But think of that one person that you can touch. You know, that's what this podcast, I've said from the beginning, that's what this podcast is about. Even if I touch one person's life, then I think it's a success. You know, it's very easy to get caught up into how many lessons you get. Yeah, I'd like to have all these lessons. All these lessons throughout the world. I think I've counted, according to my analytics, that I'm heard in 41 countries. Let alone being on EternityReadyRadio.com and into another 20 to 21 countries there. Including the United States. And check out Eternity Radio. While I'm thinking about it, check out EternityRadio.com. And we have a slot on Thursday nights at 6 to 7. That's an hour. Well, it's Central Time. So I live in Michigan, so it's an hour behind me. 6 to 7. It's out in Missouri, I believe. I think that's what Jeremiah said, or Kansas. That's what it was, Kansas. And check it out on Thursday nights. And also, we are in a group called FaithCast. That's faithcast.com. You can go in there and find us in there now. our podcast and many other podcasts that are Christian-based podcasts. And there's, you know, it's FaithCast, Faith, F-A-T-H, Cast, C-A-S-T.com. And check that one out also. But anyway, back to what I was saying. Let's do this 30-day challenge. I challenge each and every one of you out there. No matter how hard it is, no matter what, put a smile on your face. Think about it. Those people are eventually going to say something to you. And that's when you tell them, that's because of Jesus. That smile will turn into a witness. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to be? Supposed to do? Supposed to be like? A witness? I close my eyes and I see people walking out, getting in their cars, going down the roads. Yeah, I can understand when you're in traffic jams, it's hard to have that smile on your face. Put on that Christian radio station. Turn it up when you're in that traffic jam. Start praising the Lord. Don't care what anybody else around you is. Maybe they'll turn, open up their windows and they'll start listening too. Who cares? Just let it fly. You know, it's good at times to have that I don't care attitude anymore, I guess, so to speak. You know, when it comes to stuff like that, Jesus said, if you're embarrassed, basically, if you're embarrassed about me before others, I'm going to be embarrassed about you before my Father. Ooh. You know, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit there, but think about it. You know, and let's do it. I'm going to challenge you again. I've said it once. I'm going to challenge you again. 30 days to put a smile on your face. Keep that smile on your face no matter what. Contact us here at God's Amazing Grace Podcast. www.godamazinggrace.com. Look for the microphone. Leave your message. Sign up for emails. I am working on setting up a blog. So I will eventually put a blog. And then when I get enough emails, I'll send you a weekly blog or a once every 2 weeks blog or whatever. And, but 30 days. Do it for 30 days and see what kind of change it'll make in your life. Don't ask, just do it. 30 days. 21 days to make a habit. Like if you were going to smoke cigarettes, it'd take you 21 days to get hooked on those things, to make it into a habit. So let's go 30 days to make that, give you a little bit extra time to make those 30 days to make that smile a habit, to where you can work on those muscles instead of the muscles frowning or grinning or whatever. They're going to have a smile on their face. That'll change your eyes expressions. When you're frowning, you got your eyes expressions will change. And then get a hold of me. I'll say it again. Get a hold of me. We'll play it on the air for other people to hear, to be inspired. For you in other countries, do it. My friend down there in Colombia who contacted me a while back, do it. Jason in California, you know who you are. Try it yourself and see what you think. Let me know. But let's do it. 30 days. Okay, now don't forget what the trivia question is. Which book of the Bible did Jesus directly write? Like I said, that means that he got his old pen and paper out and started writing this book. Or did he? Which book of the Bible did Jesus directly write? Let me know. Contact me on that also. Get back with me. And we will have a winner. We'll get your email so we can get your address. And we'll send you the book, Searching for Seven. The Journey of Seeking God, 7 days a week. And that's by Tyler D. Smith. Listen to his, I interviewed him not too long ago. Go ahead and listen to that. But don't forget to follow us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple. We're on Pandora now, for those that got it. iHeart, and a bunch of others. Don't forget to follow us there. Don't forget to go onto our store, our website at www.godamazinggrace.com. And hopefully next week, we will have another guest back on here, Joseph Day, who was on here before. And we're going to talk about Christ in unity. But don't forget, 30 days, let me hear from you. I'll see you again. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Apple, Google, Spotify, SND, many more. See you next time. This is God's Amazing Grace Podcast with Sean.